thank you all for the strength that I need to get this message through. The testimonies, the praise songs, the praise leader. It goes to show you it takes each and every one of us working as one to glorify God in the highest. I have a short story before I start. When I was in elementary school, I played sports, especially baseball, and I thought I was right good. But you know, it's something when God takes away a limit, one sight or anything like that, hearing, he develops another sight even stronger. And what happened was, all that time, I used to get up in the class, stand up and write because I couldn't see the board. Get right up on it to write, and someone said, "Teach, he's in my way. Eric, get out of my way." I always had to move back and forth. And he said, "You see him from back?" I could not believe they could see that board from where they were seated. Well, just to make a long story short, I needed glasses and didn't know it.
Amen.
And I was, grades were fine, but nothing exceptional about them. And I had had a guidance counselor that took the notice. I was in about maybe sixth grade by this time. And I thought I could see. Thought I could see good. And what happened was, she, in other words, I don't know, got in touch with my father had passed. My mother was pretty much working two jobs. She wasn't home. And pretty much was taking care of things and getting us straight for school. And anyway, guidance counselor got in touch with someone, and they took me to have my eyes examined. And I tell you what, when I got those glasses, Lord have mercy. I had no idea the earth was so pretty. It was so pretty. I started painting vegetation, trees, birds. I mean, everything was wonderful. I say that because when you look through glasses, a vision I had never envisioned before could be so beautiful. And how God just illuminated things for me. I'd let that be an introduction of my title today is, when you look at yourself, who do you see? You know, God wants all of us to have a set of glasses on as we look at life that is colored with the kingdom lenses. Lenses that are seeing things as he colors them. As God prepares or perceives them. As God directs them. As God wants them understood. Far too many of God's people are wearing cultural glasses, or racial glasses, or class glasses, or personality glasses. And they see things through the lens of those particular perspectives. God has set pair of glasses that he wants us to wear as we look at life. We call it kingdom lenses, designed to give you a kingdom vision. That is vision from God's rule.
Amen.
The kingdom is the rule of God. The kingdom agenda is the visible manifestation of that rule over every area of life. He wants you to look at every area of life through his lenses.
Amen. Amen.
God had set Israel. Oh, matter of fact, I knew October, the month of October, was going to be real busy for me doing things. And I, in addition, you know, hospital visits and all of that. So what God had me to do was start the end of month before last, the very last week, preparing. Little did I know it would take me the whole month to prepare it. Israel hadn't started fighting when I started this. So if Israel, I mentioned Israel, you know, it's maybe God wants you to look at something that they did that he don't want us to do.
Amen.
God has sent Israel through a process. These are his people in the Old Testament and the New. And he sends them through a journey from which he sends all of us through. The journey begins with deliverance from Egypt. So he began with deliverance. He begins with us with deliverance. It continued through the development in the wilderness. So he set them free from Egypt in order to develop them in the wilderness. Development then leads to destiny. His ultimate purpose for them in history. God does the same three movements with your life and my life. It begins with deliverance, the point of your salvation when you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Then he wants to develop you through spiritual development and discipleship so that he can lead you to your destiny, the place he has taken you in order to use you in history. Now, by destiny, I'm not referring to heaven, not right now, which is our ultimate destiny.
Amen.
I'm referring to the usefulness in history, because when God took Israel to their destiny in the promised land, there were still Hittites, Canaanites, Amorites. There's still problems to be dealt with.
Amen.
Not true for us in heaven.
But
those who challenges that are still faced, that we still face today in history. But we are prepared to face them because of development having already been delivered. We find in chapter 13 of the book of Numbers, Israel is on the precipice of the promised land. They were right there at it. The place of destiny. The place where God wanted them to wind up in history. The place, it's the place where they were anticipating God's divine favor being fully realized.
Amen, 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 amen.
But that is where we run into problem. Mm-hmm, we did. We ran into a problem.
Yeah.
A problem that they ran into, a problem that we run into, and that is the problem of grasshopper vision, grasshopper thinking, grasshopper complex. As they come into this precipice of where God wants them to be, they are right at the verge of experiencing God's historical purpose for them. And we read in verse 33, there also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Enoch, are part of the Nephilim. And we became as grasshoppers in our sight. And so we were in their sight. Now please notice what they say after they start feeling like as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. We were like grasshoppers in their sight. And so like we were in their sight.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, yourself perception will affect how other folk view you. They said, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and they saw us as grasshoppers. See, a lot of folk are seeing themselves in a way God never defined them. And then wind up being mad because folk are treating you like you see yourself. So why shouldn't I agree with you the way you view yourself? As a grasshopper mentality, a grasshopper complex is when you limit your perception to the size of the physical problem that you face rather than the spiritual assessment that God makes. He said, we saw the Nephilim. When we saw them, they got bigger and we got smaller. They limited their perspective in the physical alone because the Nephilim were giants. The Nephilim were this huge community of strong men. And when we saw them, we shrunk. Many of God's people and many of us as individuals don't see ourselves like God sees us. How many times have we gone around and says, I'm healed by his stripes? But we don't walk like we heal. We say a lot of things. Sounds good. But we walk the way we want other people to see us. I'm sick. I'm in pain. But we're not looking through God's eyes. We say we are. When we say, by his stripes I'm healed, we have to walk and act like we're healed. We have to talk like we're healed. And so let's look at this situation a little closer, because I want you to change, if you need to change, how you look at yourself. And I want you to change how you look at God's church and how the church views itself, because this was the collective people of God in a culture that's now being controlled by the Nephilim. So I want to submit to you that the Nephilim looks like they're in charge. See, the Nephilim were anti-God. The Nephilim were big. They were powerful. They were the powerful ones. They were the ones who controlled the agenda of the day. They were the ones who occupied the territory. They were the secularists, as you were, of that day. And they were calling the shots. They were in control. They were defining reality. We are told in the beginning of chapter 13, verse 1, of Numbers 11, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan. So let me give the rest of the story. It's described for us in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19. See, after Numbers comes Deuteronomy. Moses is rehearsing or going over what actually happened. So this is what he said. Verse 19 says, then we set out from Herod, and we went through all the great and terrible wilderness which you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, just as the Lord our God had commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. Verse 20 says, and I said to you, you have come to a hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is about to give us. So they're forgotten. So they've gotten the promise of God. God's going to give to them. He's going to give them this. Verse 21 says, "See, the Lord your God has placed the land before you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has spoken to you. Do not fear and be dismayed." So Moses is going over what actually took place in Numbers. Verse 22 says, "Then all of you approached me and said, 'Let us send men before us, that they may search out the land for us and bring back to us word of the way by which we should go up and the cities which we shall enter.'" Verse 23 says, "This thing pleased me." That's what Moses said. "This thing pleased me. So I took 12 of your men, one from each tribe." You know, I started to think now. I said, "Say what? What's wrong here? We just got some new information from Deuteronomy that was different from Numbers. In Numbers chapter 13 and 1, it says, God said, send the 12 spies. That is what Numbers 13 and 1 says. But in Deuteronomy 1, it wasn't God's idea to send the 12. It says the people came up with the idea to send the 12, and the reason the people came up with the idea to send the 12 was spy out the land. What strategy are we going to use to take it? See, God makes legal promises. I will do this. I will do that. But God wants us to implement the strategy for claiming what He has declared will happen. If you don't know the promise, then the strategy is connected to nothingness. Or your own human opinion.
Oh, wow.
But if you do know the promise, but don't develop the strategy, then the promise lies dormant. It's still there, but you won't get it. They had a strategy to claim the promise, even though the promise involved a problem. Let's slow down a little bit. The promise was the promised land. But in the promise was a problem. The Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, all the sites were in the land. All of them. So God's promise didn't mean there are problems. But God's promise that also have problems are to be addressed by the strategy used to grab hold of what He has said up there to be implemented down here. God already had the plan. God didn't tell him to strategize and take nothing. God, when God told him to go up and take it, that's what He meant. Go up and take it. He didn't mean for you to say, sit down here and look at the problems. Look at him and says, "Oh no, we can't do that. Look at those people. Look how big they are." As I go on, I'm going to talk about Israel and how God treated His people. If while I'm up here, I said sometime when the word going to get very hard, they'll be throwing of no fruit up here at me, especially canned fruit. God is going to do the talking. If you can throw it, hit Him, help yourself. So they sent 12 spies into the land to spy out the strategy for them taking it. Numbers 13:25 says, when they return from spying out the land at the end of the 40 days becomes very important. These 40 days that they went out to spy are to become very important. So you won't remember. Everybody said 40 days.
40 days.
All right. So when I get to 40 days and see what God did, you understand. They proceeded. They came to the congregation, and verse 26 says, and they brought the word back. Verse 27, we went into the land where you sent us, and it flowed, it's truly flowing with milk and honey. In other words, that means it was highly productive. Just like God said, it was very fertile territory. Verse 28, nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, and moreover, we saw the descendants of Enoch there. That's the Nephilim. He says, there are folks, the Amalek, Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites. These problems are all over the place. 10 of the spies spoke up and said, while God's promises are true, the promise, the problems are too big. When I look at this culture today, things hadn't gotten any better. I see Democratic Nephilim, Republican Nephilim, Black Nephilim, White Nephilim. I see Nephilim everywhere, strong problems. I don't care what direction you look at. We have problems. And they said, this is too big. Even though we agree that's, yes, God said it, but here it is. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses. He said to quiet the people, he had to quiet the people down. Why? Because they said, no, no, no. This is, we can't fix this. It's problems is too big. We should, Caleb said in verse 30, by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. Verse 31, but the men had gone up with him, and we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong, they are too big for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel, verse 32, a bad report of the land which they had spied out. The land through which we have gone is spied out, it's out, is the land, in that land, they're going to devour us. So in other words, what they're saying, we got cannibals in there that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. Houston, we have a problem. We have a big problem because we got a divided leadership. The 10 saw the physical, and the two saw the spiritual.
Amen.
This is a problem with majority rule because to vote is 10 to 2. 10 spies versus Joshua and Caleb. So let me give you a secret. If you want to begin to experience God's kingdom power working in your life, working in your home, your church, and hopefully to influence the culture. You don't vote on the will of God.
Come on, Pastor.
I will say that again.
Go ahead.
They are going to vote. It's 10 to 2. And you are going to get ready to see the folks say, majority rule.
Jesus.
And since 10 leaders said this and 2 leaders said that, we are going with the 10. You never, ever vote on the will of God. When God says something, it doesn't matter how many folks say anything else. It doesn't matter how many people voted for this or voted for that. When God speaks, you are to implement his principle if you want to see his power, even though it means you have overcome, yet you have to overcome some problems. If you listen to the voices of the majority who are not pursuing the will of God, it doesn't mean that they are wrong, except that they are not pursuing the will of God. Amen. Whenever that happens, you have the wrong set of glasses on.
Amen.
You want leadership in your life, in your family, in your church, and even in your culture that has the guts to see the spiritual, and two, we'll start there.
Yes, Lord.
Doesn't deny the problem.
Amen.
Caleb, he didn't deny the problem.
No.
He just doesn't start with the problem.
Amen.
He starts with the reality that God had already made a promise. So let me show you what happened. In chapter 14, verses 3 and 4, why is the Lord bringing us into this land? Listen at them now. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Verse 4. So they said to one another, let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. Here is another problem. We had a problem with bad leadership. But we also had a problem with the people were still tied to their past. How many times have God sent you or said something to you, and you started to venture out and saw big problems standing in your way, and you wanted to go back home? To nothing. You see, Egypt is in their past.
Mm-hmm.
Egypt is where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when they were in Egypt, they were fussing. I leave it there. They were fussing to get out. But they said, and when they heard the word of God about this promised land, they thought that that's great. But now that they have a problem, they want to go backwards. They want to regress. And not keep on in the will of God, even though there are problems to overcome. They were tethered to the past. They were tied to the past. So many of us were raised by the world. Raised by the ungodly way of thinking, that our minds got to think that's the only way that we can be happy. That's the only way that we can be fulfilled. That's the only way we can be victorious. That's the only way that we can overcome. That is the only way but we still want to go back because there's a problem. We go back to Egypt. Because we still see challenges to have to overcome. To move forward, because we're not like Caleb, who is looking at things through spiritual eyes. Looking to things as God wants us to see them.
Amen. Amen.
Didn't we always say this thing that faith is the substance of things not seen? In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, let us fear, while a promise remains of entering this rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it." Verse 2 says, "For indeed we have had good news preached to us." What was the good news back then? The good news was the promised land. See, God had given it to them. The news, the good news is whenever you hear the promises of God given to you, even in church, Jesus. Just as they heard also, but the word they heard did not profit them anything. Mm-hmm. It says profit them nothing. Mm-hmm. So you can hear the word of God, make the promise in church. Yeah. You hear it. But if you turn back, it profits you nothing. Even though you heard it. Did you know you could hear the word of God and not benefit from it?
Yes.
The words they heard did not benefit them, didn't profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. Verse 3. "For we who have believed entered the rest, just as he said." He says you can hear the word and not profit from it because you don't mix it with faith. When they heard the report, the majority reported versus the minority reports, 10 verses 2, in Numbers 14 and 1 it says, "Then all of the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night." Verse 2 says that all the sons of Israel grumbled because Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or that we had died in the wilderness." There are crying, sad, and emotional disrupt because of their rebellion. Not because they're trying, because the next verse says, "And they grumbled." When God tells you something, and you receive it, you didn't benefit from it, because when you start walking in where God wanted you to go, in the direction where he wanted you to go, it's so bad. It's something about grumbling against what God says. In other words, you totally, flat-footedly denied the word of God.
Jesus.
It's something I didn't say that they grumbled. That's all it says here. But I'm thinking about how we would say that in today's terms. As we God promises something, you walked in his promises, "God must not have said this, and I don't believe it." What words would you use? They're a lot worse than grumbled. But then grumbled was been a tough one. That they were grumbling because of their bad leadership and faithlessness. Verse 29 of chapter 14, it says, your corpses are dead bodies. Corpse of dead bodies will fall in this wilderness. Even all your numbered men, according to the complete number from 20 years old and upward, you have grumbled against me. Verse 35 says, 35 or 33? 35, I guess. Yeah. It says, "I, the Lord, have spoken truly. Surely I will do this, all this evil congregation who have gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be worn out in the wilderness, and there shall die," and they will die. Look at go back to verse 34. It says, "According to the number of days which you spied out the land, 40 days, for every day you shall suffer the punishment for your guilt this a year. That is 40 years, and you will know my opposition. Oh. Let you know something. God is not playing. He is not playing with us today. So if we don't get in gear, God has so much for us yet he has displayed here. He has a lot for us to do, plenty for us to do. He has places that he wants you to be. He's preparing us now. That's why the last few months, the word has been right hard. You're not hearing a lot of, gimme.
Prosperity.
Yeah, that's right, prosperity blessings. He is giving you this flat-footed word straight from heaven. You're either going to go that way or you're not.
Come on, Pastor.
They said, oh, that we might die in this wilderness.
That's right.
So God says, okay.
Yeah.
That we might die in this wilderness? He said, okay. If you insist on moving toward with God's perspective, kingdom glasses you have to look through, we will go to the in circles and never cross over to in victory in our lives. You know, keep going over and over again. How many times had God, well, I'm not going to say how many times, maybe you've been at a problem that's right hard in your life, and God didn't seem to be making a way for you. So you decided to go back your old way. And, you know, because that God, I can't do this. He knew you couldn't do it. That's why he gave you a message from heaven. You go ahead, take it, and let me worry about the strategy to get it. But we give up because we see in our natural eyes how difficult things are, how bad things are. And we'd rather go back our old way. Addictions, go back to that. Victory in our relationships, never go back. Because we still are giving excuses for staying stuck. So I'm trying to get us to move forward with the challenges in spite of the challenges in our lives. So search out God's promises for your situation and for our situation. And let's then move. In other words, let's get to stepping. Let's begin to move forward. I want you to ask God to give you new eyes that you can see yourself looking through his lenses.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That we may continue to move in the way that God wants us to move.
Yes.
To give you a different pair of shades to help you see the promises and then act on them.
Amen.
A couple of couple of weeks ago, maybe a week and a half or so ago, we had the blessings of having a few hours that we wanted to go up to the mountains. We usually go every year, but it's been a few years that we haven't. So a couple of weeks ago, we just spent a few hours up in the mountains. And I said that in the first part about me in school not being able to see. But when you have glasses on, contacts, whatever you may call them, we walked and saw the mountains and the valleys and how big the trees were, the rocks were. Section of highway was nothing but rocks as high as we can see them. They made me look small when I was out in the midst of them. Very small. When you compare the size of your problem, your circumstances, your struggles, against the size of your God, they will begin to shrink too. You know, life does have realities that causes us pain and that causes us one of Pastor Tony's words he might use, consternation. That is, you confront it with something that stops you in your tracks. But they must be all put aside alongside of who God is, what God says, and what God has done in the past to help you cope, or not only cope, but to overcome the things that we are facing right now. Throughout the Bible, God's people have faced things and looked at what was going through. Sometimes they thought they were going to be defeated, like the three Hebrew boys, like Daniel in the lion's den. We thought they were defeated. If we look through them through our eyes and the situations that they were in, but the faith that they had in believing in God, he brought them through. Well, why would he do the same for us? And I would doubt that any of us would be thrown in a lion's den. How bad can it get? The lions were hungry. They made sure they were hungry so they would eat them up the time you throw them in. But he used them as pillows. They went to sleep, took a nap, having faith that God's going to bring him out. And how would you like to be thrown in a fire like the three Hebrew boys? Of course, the men who threw them in, they were burnt up. But God can bring you. It's just letting you know how powerful our God is. He will bring you. I don't care how bad your situation is. He will bring you out. And you don't even have to smell the smoke. And sister, he's going to bring you out too. He's going to bring you out too. I don't care how difficult the situation may seem. If you believe in faith like you gave your life to Christ today, you emptied out, you have nothing but the Spirit of Christ living within you, girl, you are all right. I don't care what it looks. Don't turn back.
Ever since Pastor Mike said, lift
your head up. Lord, like the three Hebrew boys, God is able to bring victory out of ashes.
Amen.
Whatever you are going through right now, put it alongside of God and watch it shrink as the size of God grows. The more God you have, the smaller your little problem becomes. You want all of God, you have taken care of your problems. You look throughout the Bible, praise is appropriate to problems. Because the more you praise, the more you're recognizing God. And the more you're recognizing God, the smaller the issues of life will become. So keep your praise up and your struggles go down. That's why praise is so important. When we come in here, I don't care. When you dot that door, I want you to leave your problems outside of that door. When you come through that door and come into this sanctuary, your eyes and your worship and your praise should be toward God. Nobody else going, why are you coming to church? For God to take care of your problems. But if you don't give him what he expects of you, why should he return the favor? Amen. When you grumble about him.
Oh,
when you come here looking for God and God gives you word and you refuse to take it because things look too difficult. Oh, that's impossible. I use this as my sister. She says she can't renew her apartment. Renew her place where she's staying. She don't know where she's going, but is it too big for God to handle?
Yes.
Girl, I'm looking at you just like you're just a little pebble on the ground. That's how small your problem's going to be because of the big God that we serve.
Thank you, Lord.
So we don't take praise and worship serious enough. We're getting there. But when you bring junk, baggage, you come in here looking like you're wearing a baggage suitcase. And it happened to fall open. Oh, how did that get in here? You brought it in here. God is good. He is worthy of our praise. If you want him to move in your life, nobody should have to even encourage you to praise him. That's the part that upsets me. We get up here, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, come on, y'all not praising him. If you don't praise him, you are grumbling. You don't believe he can do it. If nothing ever happened, don't get no work out of your mess that you're in, you deserve to be in the mess. Because you have nobody else to get you out of it but God. Y'all ain't got no canned fruit up here, do you? Look, church, all my respect, I just want each and every one of you. I don't like leaving nobody behind. God doesn't like leaving nobody behind. I may not be all the leadership that you desire, but that part that I do know is about God. And you're going to get God, you're going to give him the glory if you want to. I'm going to tell you the truth.
Go ahead, tell us the truth.
I believe, like so many have, they came in here for the wrong reason. Oops, I thought I saw a can or something. Look, if you come in here for the music like some did before, oh, Lord, we had a pianist that could tear it up. Two of them. One by ear. Both of them played by ear. But, ooh, man, they could tear it up. They came in here. When the music stopped, they stopped.
Go ahead. You telling the truth.
Oh, Lord, we had a praise team. Equal to the praise team that we have now. Boy, they could sing. Yeah, he was on it. Wife was on it. A couple other members not here were on it. But when the piano left, the praise kept going. People coming here for the wrong reasons. They're coming here for, oh, look how small this place is. The other place was small, but it began to fill up. But they tried to change things. They saw a big building down the street from us. We went over there. I said, what in the world is going on here? We walked through it. We had to check it out, you know, to make them happy. We had to check it out. We walked through. Nice place. Had a kitchen already. Had the stage already on this side, and only had a line of glass. I think that was for ballerinas or something. They were whoever they do on that. That's what it was, I guess. And then all I wanted to say, what's the cost? Well, we ain't getting that. I ain't agreeing to that. So the people who wanted it, they're gone. But you know, it didn't come as a surprise.
No.
Because that day, if I remember correctly, it wasn't even part of my message or anything. The first thing I said, God says there were going to be a sifting.
Sifting.
Like a.
Like the flour.
Yeah, like you know, y'all bakers, you know what I'm talking about. Like get a flour, like flour, you know, shake that stuff out. You got your meat already floured, and you just shake the rest of the stuff out. And I think it was less than a couple of weeks. I think about half of them left. God is good.
Yes, he is.
If he's not going to help us move forward, you got to go.
Yes.
Right now, we are stable right now.
Come on, Pastor.
We're stronger than we ever been. God says we had a lot of different things going on. It took a while. Took a lot of prayer. But we got them. We got one. I heard one that told me he's family now. I'm not gonna mention his name, but Bishop. Michael came back home, and his wife. We need help. Because what God is gonna, when He loads this place up, we're gonna need every hand on board. That's why we're trying so much to get you to your destiny, where God wants you to be, because it's going to take every member in here to take care of the volume. They may just come through and go out. But you know what? If they can have a marriage chapel, and I think that's in Las Vegas, that you can drive through, when they drive through, well, when they come out, they're married. So if they come through and go out, don't mean that they're not going to be saved by the time they go out of here. I'm not going to be long, but I got it going to take a minute. That's kidding. Anyone, if you already had prayer, for the unsaved, for those that, I think for the unsaved, then we call up. We didn't have any of those left, so in here. So you already had prayer for those who had to give up stuff. You know what? Next Sunday when we come in, we should be terrible. If y'all come back next Sunday, and you gave up that little stuff, that little baggage that you had, girl, your little testimony you had? I know about the other stuff. But the way, the direction that you said you're taking, searching God first, girl, you're going to have a testimony to be one of them singing ones. You said, let me join in the choir.
Amen.
All that stuff. Jesse?
Is that you, Jesse?
I always tell it all the time. Every time I see it,
did you, Jesse?
Girl, you don't know all that the Lord has for you. These things, all those little barriers that he put in your way, look how he moved them. You on your way, girl. Yeah, he's knocking them down. And me standing up here, I got to knock mine down. Y'all looking at me and say, what are you going to do you? Hey, I'm going. I'm going to make it. I don't care how hard it gets. I got it going on. If my hands get too heavy, my wife said, if they get heavy at home, she's going to hold them up. Or either knock me out. Been here, I got enough people to hold my hands up.
Amen.
I don't care how busy, how, you know what? Sometimes you feel like stuff that's unusual stuff that's happened. I mean, just unusual stuff. I didn't eat breakfast this morning. I think I better cut this short now. But God, I tell you, I wake up in the morning, do the little things, I go to prayer, and Linda goes in at about 4, sometimes 4:30. But anytime for me, I'd be 4:30, sometimes 3:30. I come back, she hadn't gotten up to go into prayer yet. But whenever he puts something on my mind and on my heart, it's not for naught. Sometimes I feel that it's just a test. You know, like this thing used to come on, this is only a test. I guess that's a national broadcasting network for weather, whatever. But everything that comes in your life now, this says only a test. How hard it gets is only a test. We want to see the other side of this storm. We want to see the other side of this problem. The land flowing milk and honey. That's going to be sooner than you think. This story, if you can connect it, I hadn't planned on even thinking about Israel. We can understand why Israel is in this place that he's in now, but God's coming back to save his people. And I believe he's going to save all that's called by his name, that he called his people first. They already, I know we're going because if Israel go, we got to go because we ain't drafted by it, by Israel. And say, God says, he always said, pray for his people. Pray for Israel. Pray for Israel. I don't care what it looks like. I don't know what to pray for Israel now. All I said, God, you have answered 1,000 prayers. Israel is up to you, God. And we're believing they're going to come over to your side, all of them. Some may have to suffer a little bit, but that's the way it is. They suffered a whole lot of murders, and God has killed a lot of people in the Old Testament. But, well, look at I just told you the story. A lot of those people didn't make it to the Promised Land. I think he allowed Moses to look over in it. He didn't get to go in because he was the leader that picked the 12 men for the 12 to go spy out the land. God didn't tell him to do that. But one blessing was he got to see. He got to see it. The rest didn't. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you. Just give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And Father, just thank you for blessing this particular. I just thank you for your spirit living in this place. When you said your spirit would never leave us, always never leave us nor forsake us. That means when we get here, we have the spirit with us, and when we are collectively with your spirit, this place got to go. And I thank you, Lord, for every prayer that's need to be answered, for every circumstance, for every problem that they're confronted with now. Lord, we just claim the victory right now. In Jesus' name, amen.